You know, it was neat to see him. The first play, we challenged him in the walkthrough on Monday, and it was unbelievable to see how he executed the first play. He came back. So, you know, he continued to study the game, even though we weren't with him, obviously, or talking to him. But we feel he's going to come back just as good as he was before he left.
What did you do on that play that say so?
It was just a unique run fit that we threw on him, and he hasn't been playing this coverage in a month, and it's something we have to work all the time, and he came in and nailed it the first day, so we were pretty excited about it for him.
Probably a good problem to have, but what's the domino effect there? I mean, in relationship to how you're going to use your guys back there?
This will be a good competitive week for him, you know, because we do have, you know, four or five guys back there that can play some winning football. So it'll be a competitive week, but, you know, we see obviously Prince and House playing on the outside. You know, we're slowly going to work Cove back in on the outside, but he'll be, you know, playing nickel in our sub package.
Would you say something when Graz gets picked up almost immediately, and then the same thing with Nick getting signed off the practice squad? Is this example about the depth you have back there?
Yeah, I think it does, and it's a credit to those guys, you know, that they have worked to get themselves in that position for other teams to pick him up. I know it was a little bit tough for us losing both of them, but that is the business side of things. But, you know, we got some good players back there, and they've been playing well, and we can, you know, hope and feel that they will continue to play well.
Looking at the tape, what did you see out of Miles at Otter?
There were some things that he can get better at. Obviously not playing that position very long. He had a couple busts, but he's definitely got a big upside, as we knew that when we drafted him. And we still got Scooter, and Scooter's battling some injuries and stuff like that. So we feel we got two good players, and, you know, we'll see how this week goes for both of them.
If you start Miles again this week, is there something that you want to expand on the role moving forward for him?
We're going to play within our package. We don't get outside of our package. That's one of the things I told the defense when I took over. You know, there's a system to this, and we're going to stick to the system. And we'll continue to do. You know, obviously there's different calls that we haven't been running, but we're going to stay within our system for that auto position.
I don't think it's been said around here much time. You don't want to rely on rookies. But I mean, heck, follow a rookie and Miles and Ramsey.
Yeah.
When you go back and look at what you did the first four games, mm-hmm. how much are those guys showing up?
A lot. They obviously are. You know, and along with our free agents and then, you know, the couple of other guys that have been here, you know, 3 years that are playing well too. So, we knew they were good football players, but, give the credit to them as players to put in the work. To study the game in the off season or, you know, in the breaks. And they're playing well. And we're going to continue to push them, and we expect them to continue to play well. And they're accepting the challenge. So it's awesome working with this young group.
Is it any level of guilt on your part for asking Miles to go, hey, Mike, Will, now Otto? I mean, it's because you always – I remember in the spring you said you just want to put one guy in one spot and let him learn there as a rookie.
Yeah.
So you feel guilty at all a little bit?
Well, yeah. No, in the spring we have so many bodies, so you can lock them into one position and get them filled in, you know. You know, we got six linebackers on our roster, and when guys start getting nicked, you have to be, you know, dual position players. Same thing goes with the D-line. Same thing goes with, you know, the backup free safeties are nickel. So you have to be able to do that. And, he's responding well, learning all three. It's tough as a rookie. But, you know, he's here late. During lunch break, he sits and meets with our coaches when we're not meeting and stuff like that. So he's putting in the time to learn all three.
Would it have been easy? I don't know if it's easy, but would he have had a tougher time if you didn't have Pause?
Puz's leadership, when we drafted him, you know, normally a player might get a little upset and, you know, I'm a veteran, what are you doing drafting this guy high? Puz took him underneath his wings, and he's actually taught him how to be a professional, how to study, what your routine is game day, what's your routine during the week. And you can't give enough credit to what type of person Puz is. And, and I think, you know, helping other people, you help yourself. And Puz is playing well, and maybe that's the football god showing him that you've done a good thing. And, we give a lot of credit to Puz for taking Miles under his wing.
Yeah, can you expand on how Puz is played in those first four games, your assessment of them?
The thing with Puz is really playing fast right now. And, for us as a coaching staff, he's been in the league a while. And, we got to make sure that he continues to play fast. He always plays fast mentally. But, being in the league a while, and he loves to practice, he practices hard. We got to be sharp just to continue to make sure he stays you know, young legs. And he's taking care of his body. Unbelievable. We're limiting him in practice when he needs to be so he continues to play at a high level. So we're excited about Puss.
Blake was saying that Jalen is like the only guy that'll knock down his passes in the walkthrough.
In 2 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. How rare is Jalen's mentality approach to the game for a rookie?
You know, he don't want to lose in checkers. He is competitive. You know, there was one play, you know, we called the zone coverage and he come off and he was like, just leave me on him, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but we got to do other things too, you know? But he is so competitive. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make him such a special player throughout his career is how competitive he is. And he works in the weight room, on the grass, in the game. So, you know, it's amazing, his mental makeup.
When Brian Hoyer is playing well, which he seems to be right now,
playing extremely well.
What's the difference between when he hasn't played well? I mean, what's he doing right now? How are the Bears using him that he's had three straight 300-yard games?
Yeah, you know, the ball's coming out extremely fast. You know, we, you know, try to chart and see how fast they can come out. You know, he's on rhythm. He can get to his first or second reads, you know, and he's getting to them and he's throwing them and they're completed. So, you know, the thing that we got to do is try to take those reads away, make him get to his third read, make him start to feel the rush. But if he doesn't feel the rush and he can sit back there, he's as good as any quarterback in the league.
What did you guys do to him 2 years ago when he came in with a 100 quarterback rating and left with a 46 that day when he was with Cleveland?
You know, I think, you know, we pressured him. You know, and but I think it doesn't matter the quarterback. If you can get pressure on a quarterback, you know, their percentage numbers are going to drop. And, you know, that's going to be a big thing for us all week. Our front four have to be able to get coverage on him or pressure on him because you're going to have to play coverage. You know, they got three wideouts and a tight end that obviously have had success the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full with trying to handle him and the core he's got.
What do you make of their guards sitting in the
wall? As we told the defense this morning, and, you know, definitely challenged the front, those two guards are probably as good as there is in football. How fast they can get up to the next level, you know, they create angles on linebackers to get them cut off. And then all of a sudden Howard's, you know, hash number sideline, you know, for about 20. So those guys are special up front. And, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our inside two. To be able to hopefully, you know, at least neutralize those two.
But how do you decide whether to flop Jalen or leave him on one side?
A lot of it depends on, you know, who we're playing, you know, and some of the matchups. You know, it can be a little bit different now that Coven's coming back. But, you know, we make those decisions as we go through the game plan and how the matchups are for everybody else and where we travel into.
Size-wise, physicality, how unique is Alshon Jeffery?
I think he's as big as I am, so, and he runs a lot better. So, but he's a big body guy, and he does a nice job of putting his body in position where defenders can't get to the football. And it's gonna, if you got smaller guys on him, you know, he takes advantage of it. So, you know, we're fortunate we got big corners, and it's gonna be a heck of a matchup with all three of our corners on him come Sunday.
Zach Miller has been the matchup nightmare for a lot of teams. He's very fast. How do you plan as a defensive coordinator with your linebackers to cover a guy like that?
You know, it's going to be a definite group effort. You know, we're a man, we're a zone, and we're a pressure team. So, you know, everybody's going to kind of take their turns covering him, and, you know, he'll be in some zone areas, and we got a ball out break. But, you know, he's a guy that you got to account for on every snap.
Todd, in the course of the season, do you sense being around defenses over the years that there's a maturation within the season? And now that you guys are making plays and playing the common, do you feel it in the meeting rooms? Do you feel it in practice? Do you see any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think our guys are playing with some confidence right now. You know, we played realistically, you know, three good football games out of four. You know, there's some things we can get better at for damn sure. But it's a situation they're feeling confident right now. And I think that's a lot of credit to them, you know, because they have put in the time, they're studying, they're doing the things that they need to do to put themselves in position. You know, it's nice as a coach, we give them the information and then they study the heck out of it. So, and, you know, they're doing the executing. You know, for us as coaches, all we do is, you know, throw the ball out and let those guys go hunt. So we're excited about all of them.
Todd, is this as close this team has ever been defensively to having everybody, Colvin suspended this year, Conte hurt last year. Yep. This is about as close as you guys have ever been to having everything you wanted.
Yeah, you know, and that's obviously a credit to Shad and Dave and getting everybody in, and now the Cove's back and Dante's healthy, and we got our rushers and we got guys that can cover, and linebackers are playing well. But as we all know in the NFL, it goes from week to week. But, you know, I like the guys that we have. As an organization, you can't be any happier with them. You know, the work ethic and that kind of stuff that they put in each week. And, you know, it just gives us a chance. So, I mean, it's a great group to work with.
How big of a step did Sheldon Day take against the Colts?
You know, Sheldon is playing well. We got to continue to get him more and more reps as we go along. You know, Aaron and I talk about it each week, and during the game we're charting his reps. But he's an explosive player, and he's going to have some good matchups this week inside. And, you know, hopefully he can continue to mature.
The way Tyson's played the last couple of weeks, do you guys have a decision to make
there? You know, we're going to have eight up, and with the defensive line right now, and we'll see how everything else goes if we get nine up. But he's played well. So, you know, as the week goes on, we'll, you know, see what offense needs, what special teams needs. And, you know, but he's played really well the last 2 weeks.
Is there more pressure on Dante and Unique this week, given how good the Bears' interior line is?
No. I mean, it don't matter who we play. To be honest with you, we expect those two to play well, and we expect everybody to play well. So we don't put any pressure on them. We just tell them, you just go out and do your job, and good things are going to happen. So there's no more pressure on them than they put on themselves.
Todd, you guys used some 3-3-5 bandit stuff in the past.
Yeah.
With Miles Jack's kind of emergence, uh-huh. Any chance that possibly, or you just can't take the defensive lineman off the field?
You know, we got a pretty good talented front four.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I like to be able to get pressure with four and play coverage. So, you know, that's in the way back of our playbook. You know, it's just something we feel – what's that? Yeah. You know, we feel good with our front four. Yep.
Is Colvin the best blitzer among the DBs?
He's pretty good. Jalen's pretty good, too. You know, we had him the one versus Green Bay. But, you know, last year, you know, Kiff and I were sitting there talking about some scheme stuff, and I said, oh, no, if we can blitz, you know, Coven's a heck of a blitzer in the past. So, you know, I think he had 5.5 sacks or something for us last year. So he's a good blitzer, but, you know, you don't want to lose his coverage skills either.